Hanukkah, we learn for the Kriyat HaTorah, the Karbanos that the Nesiim brought in the Mishkan, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. On the first day of Hanukkah, we learn the Karban that was brought by the first Nasim. The second day, we learn the Karban that was brought by the second Nasim. The Mechaber has a machlokes with the Ramah exactly how to divide the Aliyah, because you have to give a minimum of three Aliyahs, and every Aliyah has to have a minimum of three Pesukim. And the Parshiyot only have six Pesukim. Bayom Rishon only has six Pesukim. So you can't divide it in two. So then each Aliyah gets three Pesukim, but you have to have three Aliyahs. Exactly what he does. The Mechaber says that you lay over the same thing. The Kohen, the Levi, divide the Pesukim in half, and Yisrael reads over the whole thing. So it comes out that you lay the 12 Pesukim. And the Ramah writes the minig that the Ashkenazim follow, that the Yisrael lays the next day's Korban, the next day's Nasi. Means, let's say, on the second day of Chanukah, the Kohen and the Levi divide the Korbanos of the second Nasi, Bayom HaSheni, and the Yisrael lays the Korbanos of the third day's Nasi. The Mechaber says, no, you never lay anything that doesn't belong on that day. So everybody says that that's L'shitasam in Hilchus Sukkah. What Aliyah do you lay on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara says in the end of Sukkah that on each day of Chol HaMoed, for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah, you lay in the Speak of the Yom, and we who live in Chutzlar lay in the Speak of the Yom. So on the, let's say, on the first day, Chol HaMoed, I mean, HaTorah, we know it's really the third day of Sukkah. I mean, the Rabban, we make believe, is it maybe it's the second day. So you lay in Bayom HaSheni, Bayom HaShishi. So the Ramos, so the Mechaber says that's all you lay. You give three, you give four aliyahs. The Kohen lays Bayom HaSheni, the Levi lays Bayom HaShlishi, the Shlishi lays Bayom HaSheni, and the Revi lays Bayom HaShlishi. Lay all the same thing. And the Ramos says no, that the Kohen lays Bayom HaSheni, the Levi lays Bayom HaShlishi, the Yisrael lays Bayom HaRevi, which for sure is not part of the Speak of the Yom. For sure, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkah for sure is not the Yom HaRevi. The only Speak of the Yom is it really the Yom HaShlishi, like we know it really is between me and you, we know it's the Yom HaShlishi. The Rabban, they said you have to make believe that it's really the Yom HaSheni. So the Yom HaRevi for sure is out of the question. So the Rambam says that's okay. The Shlishi lays by Yom HaRevi, and then the Revi, which is the unique Aliyah of Chol HaMoed, because on a regular Sheni V'Hamishi and a regular Chanukah and Purim, you give three Aliyahs. So the thing that's unique about Chol HaMoed is that you give four Aliyahs. The Chodesh Chol HaMoed, you give four Aliyahs. But the fourth Aliyah is the most important one, so the fourth Aliyah lays over the two, the Speak of the Yom again. So everybody says that it's in the Mechaber and Ramah L'shitas. He's only going to bring us a right in the Mechaber from the Tosefta. So what do you do in Eretz Yisrael? On Chol HaMoed Sukkah. What do you lay? Mechaber writes at the Tosefta that the Ramah does not disagree with it. The Ramah didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramah lived in Poland. The Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael. Mechaber quotes the Tosefta, and that's the meaning. That was always so. That on the first day, Chol HaMoed Sukkah. So the first day Chol HaMoed Sukkah is the Yom HaSheni. There's no Speak of the Yom in Eretz Yisrael. So you lay in by Yom HaSheni. So you give four people get the same aliyah. Kohen gets by Yom HaSheni, the Levi gets by Yom HaSheni, the Shlishi gets by Yom HaSheni, the Revi gets by Yom HaSheni. So why don't you have a little variety? Variety is that the spice of life. So obviously you're not supposed to spice things up. Shalom Kiddin, you're not supposed to lay in a parsha that doesn't belong. So that's the tain of the Mechaber, that's what the Birag Rav quotes, that's the tain of the Beis Yosef. If that's what the Septus says you do in Eretz Yisrael, and that was always the minig, that you keep on laying over the same thing, only what belongs to that day, so how can you do differently in Chutz Lorit? When you have a Speak of the Yom, on the first day Chol HaMoed, it's a suffix, whether it's the Yom HaSheni or Yom HaShlishi. So lay Yom HaSheni, Yom HaShlishi, but then how can you lay Yom HaRevi? You should lay over the Yom HaSheni, Yom HaShlishi. You shouldn't be able to lay anything else. So that machloik is, Taka the Ramo is Shver, I practice, we follow the Ramo, we lay the next day's Kriya, which really has no Shaykhah to that day, Taka Shver, difficult from the Tosefta that the Mechaber quotes in the common practice in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what everybody says, that's what she taught them over here by the Kriya Tatar of Chanukah also, that the Mechaber holds he never lay anything from tomorrow. The Ramo says he's really not the same at all. really not the same at all, because on every day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you're laning, what's the purpose of laning Karbonos and Mashal Mechonos those things? Well, you're going to lane Karbonos that belong to a different day. You lane the Karbonos that belong to that day. The Mechaber makes sense. If you only lane the Karbonos that belong to that day, or that are spake at the end of that day, how can you lane on the first day Chol HaMoed Sukkos? How can you lane a Karbonos for Yom Arvi if today for sure is not the Yom Arvi? It's like laning about Shavuos, about Pesach. It's today's Sukkos. When are you laning about something else? But on Hanukkah, what? We're laning the Karbonos that had to be brought today. Hanukkah doesn't have any chiyuv mustafim. I'm not laying korbanos that were brought today. There was a Chanukah Hamikdash in the days of the Chashmonaim, because the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Cheskel, "Bo priestim chilulu." When the priestim used the Beis Hamikdash for Avodah Zarah purposes, but the Kedushas Hamikdash was in his batla. In the normal circumstances, you only need a Chanukah Hamikdash in the beginning. The Machanach Beis Hamikdash in the beginning. Where's that hesekimset? You build a Beis HaMikdash and you need two Chanukahs. You need one Chanukah in the beginning and another 200 years later, 300 years later, you make another Chanukah HaMikdash. What do you do that for? The answer is, the structure remains standing intact, but the Kedushas HaMikdash was pulled out from underneath because of Baba preaching the Chanukah. So there had to be Mechanech, the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash in the days of the Chashmonah. So the way to be Mechanech it is by bringing special Karbonos. So normally you have to have a Hayrasha, you have to have Nevi'im to tell you what special Karbonos to bring. So the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they brought the Chanukah Sanasim. The days of Shlomo, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. And the days of Shlomo HaMelech, he had a Nevuah, what they should bring, and they brought accordingly. The days of Ezra, they had Navim, Chagash Chai Malachi, so they brought accordingly. Lossi Lava, even the Navi Yecheskel says what's going to be. And the days of the Chashmonaim, they didn't have any Navim to tell them what to do. It was Pas Chanukah. So they brought Korbanos, but they couldn't bring any Kteres. Like in the days of the Nisim, they brought Kteres. The Gemara says that was an unusual thing. The Gemara in the Midrashim says, not an unusual thing. It never exists any other time. It's a Hayrasha, purely Hayrasha. You never have a Yochid Misnadev Kteres. The whole thing is that it's a Hayrasha. So they had to have a Nevuah for that. The fact that a Chatos is also, the Gemara in Zvachim, in the first part talks about the Chatos Nachshon. Nachshon ben Amiyadav was the first of the Nisim who brought for the Chanukah Sanasim on the first day on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Gemara talks about a category of a carbon that's called a Chatos Nachshon. Chatos Nachshon is Lav Davke Nachshon ben Amiyadav. The Gemara says we have such a Chatos Nachshon, means a Chatos which is not Bo Alachet. Usually somebody's Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig, he brings a Chatos. Somebody eats Chela B'Dam, or they ate Chometz B'Pesach, or they ate on Yom Kippur. So they have to bring a korban chatos. The chatos bo when a person violates an aver b'shogeg, which if he would have done the mezid, he would have been chayv korban. So then you bring a chatos b'shogeg. And sometimes the halacha says that you have to bring a chatos totally unrelated to chet. Chatos sometimes bo not ala chet. For example, chatos nazir, chatos mitzvah. Sometimes they have other chatos that are served as a matir and mechusir kapor. So the Gemara calls that whole category of chatos that are not boim ala chet a chatos nachshon. The Gemara says, why do you call a chatos nachshon? Call a chatos nazir. The Gemara says, the first one in the history of the world who ever brought such a chatos was chatos nachshon. The second day was was yitocher. I don't know. Then was woman. Every day of the Chanukah Sanasim there was a chatos nachshon. Every day was a different person. But we call it chatos nachshon. The Gemara says it's Zochim because he was the first one who brought such a chatos. So there were exceptional things at that time. That was alpi nevuah. Chatos not bo b'nedim nedavah. So they had to have a nevuah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what they should bring. It's not that they had an inspiration and they decided on their own. In the days of the Chashmonaim, they didn't have any Nevi'im, so they just brought the regular Korbanos. So the Korbanos that we read on Chanukah every day, the first day Chanukah we read the Korbanos of Nachshon ben Amiyadav, Hazon Mata Yehuda, the second day you read, I think, Yisachar, the third day you read Zvulun, and so on. It's not that that for 12 days the Chashmonaim did a Chanukah Samigdosh in the middle of the period of Bai Sheni after Baba Pritzim Chilu, and every day of the Chanukah they brought these. You need a Navi to tell you why Rasha that that's what he's supposed to bring. They didn't bring those Karbanos. The Chachamim were Mesakein, you should link Kriyas HaTeres Deicha to the fact that in the days of the Chashmonaim they had to have some kind of Chanukah Samigdosh, Chanukah Samigdosh, that would be Mechanach the Menor. That would be Mechanach everything all over again, because everything had been used for Avodah Zarah purposes. All Beis HaMikdash was used for Avodah Zarah purposes. So there had to be Mechanach everything. So the way to be Mechanach is by bringing Korbanos. So we read about the Korbanos that the Nisim brought. You could just as well have read the Korbanos. You could have just as well started from day number 9, the Korbanos and the Nisim. There's no halacha of Moshe B'Sinai there's no correspondence. The first day of the Chanukah Tanitin belongs to the first day. So the Ramah makes more sense than Hilchos Chanukah. The Ramah makes more sense over there. In fact, on the last day of Chanukah, the Sechemes for today, on the last day of Chanukah, the Sechemes Tainas, and that's the practice that a lot of people have, that since the Kriyas HaTorah for sure goes till the end of Naso, our meaning is that we even lay in the Ramah, I think, right? But the meaning is that you lay into Bahaloyska. I think the Sfardim don't. The Sfardim only lay until the end of Naso. They don't lay into Bahaloyska. Because you only lay in about the Chanukah Sanasi. What are you going to lay in Bahaloyska Sanasi? What has it got to do with anything? And our meaning is no. That in the days of the Chashim Chaim, they had to make a new menorah. They had to be Mechanech the menorah also. So we lay into Bahaloyska also. Why not? It also has a Shaychus with Chanukah. So Ben Kovakov, we're going to lay so much. Even according to the Mechaber, we're going to lay more than, not just going to lay the 8th day. So even the Mechaber is asking, we have to lay a lot more, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, we have to lay so much more. So why Shalavah? Why be so cheap by the Kohen and the Levi that you only give the Kohen 3 psukim, you only give the Levi 3 psukim, and then the Shlishi gets 2 columns, 2 avudim and the Sefer Torah? That's not fair. You should really give the Kohen Fader Aliyah. What's all Pidin is Fader Aliyah? 4 psukim instead of 3. If you have 5 psukim instead of 4, that's taka overweight, that's obese. What do you need that for? What's the difference? But Alpidin, 4 psukim is a healthier. Sometimes people are underweight, and sometimes people are normal. So 3 psukim is underweight. This will pull through. The Gemara says in Megillah that you have to have 3, normally, you have to have, Kriyas HaTorah has to have 3 aliyahs. Every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim. So 3 times 3 should be 9, but the Gemara says, no, the halacha requires you have to have 10 psukim. So the Gemara says, who should be the lucky winner? Who gets 4 psukim instead of 3? The first, the second, or the third? So the Gemara says, whichever way you do is okay. But in the Gemara, there is mashma, that 4 psukim is preferable to 3 psukim. So if you can arrange the aliyahs in such a way that everybody gets 4 psukim, is mato. So that's what the Sechemet Tain is, and many communities have that practice. That on the 8th day of Chanukah, even if you practice the Sechemet with a Sfardi, you follow the Mechaber, there's one in Eretz Yisrael. So even if you follow the Minhag Sfardi, that you only learn the Kriya for that day, on that day, you don't learn tomorrow. But today we are going to learn till the end of Naso at least. So why not learn for the Kohen the whole Aliyah of Bayom HaShmini, then for the Levi Bayom HaTshi, then give the Yisrael, or give the Kohen couple of days, give the coin 3 days, give the lady a couple of days, and then give the shlishi, divide it equally. That maybe does make a difference equally, that does make a difference. You can raise 4 psukim instead of 3. The Gemara Mishtochim learns that a din from the Pasuk by the Chanukah Sanhedrin, Kaf achas, the Torah Zom Le'ev Torah, Kaf achas, Hakos maso l'chol masha de Kaf achas. What does it mean, Kaf achas, the Torah Zom Le'ev Torah, it was full of Torah. Torah is tiny little particles that are ground up of visualizing in your mind the jar of shell peanut or something like that. Tiny little, not peanut butter all in one big lump, a jar of things that are all broken up into tiny little particles, granulated, or a jar of, let's say, coffee, something like that. So if an Adam Tommy touches one of them, so I just say, well, he was a Rishon L'Tumah, okay, so he touches this tiny particle, makes it into a Sheni L'Tumah. That's it. He didn't touch all the tiny particles in the jar, so the one that he touched became a Sheni. If that touched the other one, maybe he'll make it a Shlishi, if it's Tumah, if it's touching, okay, yeah, maybe not, whatever. Chalchum and Tamiyachum and the Rabbanah, fine. But that's as far as it goes, it doesn't go any further. So the Gemara says it's a special din that we learn out from this Pasuk, that's the question. We really learn out from this Pasuk or it's only an Asmachta. That's the Shaila, the Milus. The Gemara speaks about Milus, the Chumas that you have by Kachim. Kaf achas asoras olam le'achtoris means that the kaf that was filled up with ktoris, akos of asoras, the pasuk declares, the chom asher bekaf, all of the ktoris, the tiny granulated particles that are in the kaf, are treated as achas as if it were one unit. So if an adam tummy, the pasuk is not talking about this, but the mayna kmina, if an adam tummy will touch any one of those particles, and let's say he's a face arishan and he touches it, makes it a sheni, I treat all of the particles together, even though they're granulated and they're separate. They're just touching each other, but it's not one unit. We treat it as if it were all one unit. A special din in kashrut. This is the Mishnayos and Chagigim. Perek Chaim Bakadosh, it lists off all of the chumas that you have in Tumah V'Tareh. by Kochim over and above Chulin, so that's one of them. That's a machloik, it's a rishani, whether that's a drosha gemura, that's an asmach. And Hilcha Shabbos, you have such a din, that's a real din there, right? Hilcha Shabbos, there is such a halacha that if you, if I carry a kli, and the kli has a lot of little pieces in it, so I don't say that I'm over on Haisua and each and every individual particle that's in it. I say I treat everything that's in the kli, that's called Eged kli. So it's the same concept as over here. Sirif kli, Eged kli, same thing. I treat everything that's in the kli as if it were one unit. Moshe Limar has it in. I'm taking out a big, let's say I have a long watermelon. I have long spaghetti. Before they chopped up the thing, I have long, long strings of spaghetti. And let's say it's in the Rishus HaRabim and I carry it into the Rishus HaYochid, over here. In the Rishus HaRabim and I carry it in, and it's half in and half out. Now if I would have chopped off the spaghetti or cut the watermelon in half, I would have carried in half of the spaghetti or half of a watermelon, I would have been chayver, how did it kashir it? But the Gemara says if it's a long, long unit and I carried in half and half is still out and half is in, so the Gemara says that you're not chayver, because the haitzua has to be done on the entire object, or it's the, or if the watermelon is in the Rishus HaYochid and I carry out half of it, you're not chayver. So the Gemara says, well, what if you have a kli and you took the kli from outside to inside, the inside to outside halfway, so it's now on the border. So the haitzah or the hachnas on the kli, you're not chayav for, because it's you're still on the border. But then you have inside the kli, you have a lot of tiny little particles. You have full of peanuts, and I have 1,000 peanuts inside and 1,000 peanuts outside. Now, so if I would have carried 1,000 peanuts, I would be chayav on that alone. So the Gemara says no. Since all the 2,000 peanuts are in one kli, I consider everything egged kli. I consider everything, all the food that's in the kli, as if it were one unit. And I say, not only is the kli half in, half out, the one unit of all the 2,000 peanuts is half in, half out, so you're not chai. That's for sure a din d'oraita. That's for sure a din d'oraita. Taisus has a machlekes with the Rashba. The Ran and Beitza, and Daf Yud Zayin calls machlekes Taisus and the Rashba. What's the din of marba b'shiurim? Is that a Nisa Deraisa or a Nisa Derabanan? Let's say on Shabbos. There's a Chayla Sheyej B'Sakana, someone is very sick and the doctors say that he has to have a fresh apple ripped off from the tree. He can't just get an apple from the store, he's going to die. He has to get a fresh apple that's ripped off from the tree, he has a bimta in order to save his life. So the cross message is there for Shabbos, that you can't get it very quickly, so you're permitted to rip off the apple yourself. So the Gemara has a discussion. What if instead of ripping off an apple, he breaks off a whole branch from the tree and it has 25 apples? So that's marba b'shiurim. The chayla sheyesh b'sakana only needs one apple. He doesn't need 25 apples. But I did, if I rip off one apple, a second apple, if I rip off 25 apples knowing in advance that the chayla only needs one apple, so the 24 additional malachas are certainly prohibited. I had no hefa for that. Because now it's only matter me to do one malacha. That's marba b'malachas. That's for sure you're not allowed to do. What if you're marbid b'shiurim? You're not marbid b'malach. Instead of plucking off one apple, I break off a whole branch. I did one act of kasira. But instead of doing an act of kasira on one apple, I do one act of kasira on 25 apples without that. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara in Menachos, in the first daf in Perikar B'Shemot, that you're not allowed to do that. You have to rip off the one apple rather than break off the whole branch that has with it an additional 24 apples. So it's a little unclear, and the Havamin of the Gemara is clear that it's an Issa Derayt. The Gemara had a Havamin of it, and I'm sure it's an Issa Derayt. So the question is, what was the point that the Gemara backed out? The Gemara came to the Maskana, so what was the point of the Maskana? So the Ran and Beitza, Das Yudzayim, quote the Machlokes Tosfos and Rashba, whether the Maskana we back out from that or not. What's the halacha of Marba B'Shiurim? Or the Marba B'Shiurim on Melachos, on Shabbos, is Derayt or Derabon? So there's a whole deal in Rishonim about this and Achronim about this. Or the same thing, a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana needs some chicken soup, or needs some cooked chicken. You don't have cooked chicken or cooked chicken soup, so you can't have a goy. There is no goy available, you have no Shabbos goy. So we have to cook it ourselves on Shabbos. A Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, so Pikach Nefesh is there. So when I cook, does it make a difference if I cook the whole chicken or three chickens? I put one big pot on the fire. The act of bishul is putting the pot on the fire. It doesn't make a difference whether I put a big pot full of chicken soup or a big pot full of chicken, because it's one act of bishul. So do you say Midirabbanan, you're not allowed to? Marbe Bishurim is also Midirabbanan. Is it worse than a Nisa Dirabbanan? Is it a Nisa Deraisa as well? Or should you say no, it's only a Nisa Dirabbanan? So that's the Machlokes HaRishayim. So the Aruch Hanef suggests maybe we should distinguish between the various Malachas. Maybe you have to analyze each and every Malacha. Maybe some of them are Nisa Pu'ula, some of them are Nisa Chaloy. Whenever the Torah prohibits you from bringing about a result that food will be cooked, is it an Issa Gavra or an Issa Chepta, so to speak? It says maybe you should distinguish between various malachas. Maybe in some malachas, the nature of these malachas is that you are doing a pu'ulas malachas, and then it doesn't make a difference whether you have Minan Torah, it would make a difference whether you just have a small amount or a large amount. It's the same act of malacha that you are violating Chilul Shabbos. Your Gavra is doing malacha. But if you say that the nature of some of the malachas is an Issa Chalois, it's an Issa Chepta, not to bring about this result. So if you bring about more of a result, so then that should be an Issa Deraisa. So that's what the Aruch Hameach wants to say. In the middle of his discussion, he suggests maybe you should distinguish between the various malachas. He brings out this notion that in Hoytzor, if a person is going to carry on Shabbos or Yontif, and he's going to carry more than he needs, he's going to carry for the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh, or on Yontif he's going to carry for the purpose of Eichel Nefesh, and he's going to carry more than he needs, and the extra amount that he's carrying is all in the same kli with the original amount in an oifen that it's egged kli. So the Aruch Hameach says that cannot constitute an Isur of Marbe Bishurim. That should be for sure Minat Torah. There's no Tosefis Isur over there, because egged kli is treated as one big unit. So it's one act of Hoytzor. So for sure you can't say over there that Marbe Bishurim should constitute a Ribui Malach. So by Shabbos such a thing exists Minat Torah for sure. That's halacha of egged kli, Gemara's in the middle of Shabbos. But by kochim, the drosha that the chacham learned up in the part of kapachas and so on left Torah, that's a machlekes harishana, whether that's a drosha gemura there, right? So that's only an asmachta of the rabbanon. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Rambam. The Rambam writes that Ner Chanukah is such an important mitzvah that even an oni hamispanis min atzdoka is obligated to be, who can't afford to light Hanukkah candles. He just barely makes ends meet. He's buying food in order to stay alive. So the Rambam says he's obligated to be shoyel al apsachim, to go shnorim money, to ask for nedavis, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of hadlokas neres Hanukkah. Usually the Rambam passes the Shulchan Aruch that that is not the case. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Sukkah, and in Yeriday as well, Simon Kuf and Zayn, the Simon of Yehoi Goy, there are more right quotes from the Rishonim like that. That Hamavazim Hayavazim is Yehoi Simichayimish. One is obligated to spend more than one third of his total savings in order to observe Mitzvah Sater. When it comes to Allah, he says, in order not to violate an Avera, they have to give away Kol Hol Beito, in order not to violate the Yisr. The only time you're permitted to violate the Yisr is when you have a Sakona or a Suffolk Sakona. You have to have at least a Suffolk Sakona. But anything less than that means to give away all of your money. So you give away all of your money. That's what it says in the Torah. B'chol mi'odecha. You have to say Hashem Akecha b'chol mi'odecha. You have to give away all of your money for Isurim. But for mitzvahs, you're not mechuyev to give away all of your money. You're only mechuyev up until chaymish. Amivaz la'ivaz yes mechaymish. More than one-fifth of your total savings, you're not mechuyev to spend from mitzvah. Even if the nature of the mitzvah is that the mitzvah is eres, and by not spending the money, you'll just forgo the mitzvah. The Rosh Hashanah will go by and you will not have heard Kiyah Shefer. Sukkot will go by, you will not have shaken a lulav in an effigy, you will not have sat in the sukkah. If you don't have, you don't have, you're not mechuyev to spend the money. Garnish. So here in Hilchos Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam that it's not so. That Hamavazah, Zayavazah, Yesh Mechaymish doesn't apply. Afilu Oni, Hamasfanis Minat Zaka is obligated to go borrow money, but to go ask for an adavis in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. How did the Rambam know that this is so? So the Mefarshim say the Rambam got it, the Magen Mishnah I think writes on the side, the Rambam got it in the Mishnah by Arvi Pesachim, in the last Perkin Pesach. It says, Afilu Oni Hamispanis Menat Pesach is obligated to observe Arba Kaisis, and what it means obviously is that he has to go ask for an adavis to fulfill Arba Kaisis, the Takam Anishtana Arba Kaisis, from all the other mitzvahs on Torah. So the answer must obviously be because there's too many mitzvahs involved. So the same is true regarding Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. Since there's a mitzvah for too many mitzvahs involved, so you say that the din of Hamavazah, Ivazi Yes Mechemesh, doesn't apply. How far do you go with this to too many mitzvahs? Marshall, the Gemara says that although Hadlokas Neres Chanukah and Mikra Megillah and Abrikosis are mitzvahs Shatei Shas Mangroma, women should have been exempt from these mitzvahs. Nonetheless, these are exceptions to the rule because Afen Hoybi Osanet. What does it mean? So the Pashtus is that the nature of these mitzvahs is that they have Pirsumi Nisim. What about Halal on Chanukah? Are women obligated to recite Halal on Chanukah? The Mishnah says in Sukkah that women are not obligated to recite Halal on Yamim Tovim. It says if a woman, if the husband doesn't know how to say Halal, and the wife does know how, the wife is more learned than the husband. The wife learned in the Koheles, and the husband didn't. He had to go work from it. So the wife knows how to say the Halal, and the husband doesn't. So can she say the Halal and the most of the husband, which are mea koina? The Gemara says in Sukkah, the Nikar Adin Shemeh Torahina applies to Halal also. The Zman HaGemar, the Chazim would recite the Halal, the people didn't have a Siddur. The Zman HaGemar, they didn't have Siddurim. That was in the days of the Gaonim, they started to write Siddurim. The days of the Rishonim, it became more popular. The days of the Rishonim, they didn't all have Siddurim. And later, in our generations, we have Siddurim. So in the days of the Gemar, they didn't have Siddurim. So the practice was that people didn't know Halal by heart. So the Chazim would say the Halal. Maybe he had a Siddur, maybe he said it by heart, whatever. Maybe he was a Jew. But he said that he would recite the Halal and all the people would be yotze with Shemei Kaina. The whole sugi of Shemei Kaina is in Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches. The whole sugi deals with Halal. It starts with Halal. The whole discussion of Shemei Kaina. So the Mishnah says that if a woman is reciting Halal in order to be mighty her husband, or the children go to Cheder, the children go to Yeshiva, and they know how to say the Halal, and the father does not know how to say the Halal. He didn't get a Yeshiva education. So the child is before Bar Mitzvah cannot recite the Halal to be mighty the father because Mishen Mechuyiv Bedover and Emoti Asachem Vedechei Rosim. So the Mishnah states clearly that women are not Mechuyiv in Halal. Women in Ketanim is only Mechuyiv Mitam Chinuch. They're not Mechuyiv Medina Behal, so they cannot be mighty their husbands. So what is the husband going to do if he doesn't know how to say Halal? So he cannot rely on Shemei Kainas. And the Mishnah says, Ein Achareya Mashahem Omer. He has to say after his wife or after his children, he has to recite the whole Halal word for word. After they say it for it. So the question is, that Halal, that Mishnah is speaking about Halal on Yontif, Halal on Sukkot, Mishnah on Sukkot. What about on Chanukah? Would you apply the same to Chanukah? Maybe I should say, the Gemara says in Erech and Daf Yud, that Halal on Chanukah has nothing to do with the fact that it's a Yontif. Halal on Pesach Shmur Sukkot is a Halal Mitam Simchas Yontif. So women are exempt from that. The Mishnah says in Sukkah that women are exempt. But the Halal Chanukah, the Gemara says, is Zeichel Anes. So since it's Zechel Ones, maybe I should say Afin Hoybi Ois Anes, the women are Mechuyiv in Halal. So the Rambam writes the Feirush Natan. The Rambam writes all of the Dinim of Halal in Hilchas Chanukah. He wanted to make Hilchas Chanukah into something, so there's hardly anything there. They took all of Hilchas Halal and they stuck it in Hilchas Chanukah. So that made up one chapter. Azoi Hilchas Chanukah is only one parent, the Dinim of Hadlokas Aneris and Alanisim. There isn't so much in the Kriyas HaTzeres, there's very little there. Hilchas Chanukah, one perek in the Rambam. So he wanted to fatten it, so he made it two prokim. He put all of Hilchas Halal into Hilchas Chanukah. So the Rambam writes, and if a woman is saying Halal for her husband, the husband has to say word for word. He doesn't write it in Hilchas Sukkah with the Mishnah. The Rambam took the Mishnah in Sukkah and he put it over here in Hilchas Chanukah because he wanted to fatten up Hilchas Chanukah. So you see the famous that the Rambam holds that women are parted from Halal even on Chanukah. They're not with it. So that's a Shloimeh LaVilna, it's the Kash on the Rambam. How can he say that? Shouldn't he agree to this svara that Afen Hoybi Ois Anes, that women should be mechuyev in reciting of Halal on Chanukah, because the Gemara says the Feirush in Erech and Daf Yud that the Halal on Chanukah is Zeichel Anes. It's not because of Simchas Yontif, but it's Zeichel Anes that women should be mechuyev because Afen Hoybi Ois Anes. So the Pashtus is, you have to say that Zeichel Anes is not the same as Pirsumim. When the Gemara says that women are Mechuyiv and Abrikosis and Mikra Megillah and Halakas Neres Chanukah because Afen Hoybi Ois Anes, the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva in Chelek Arachaim where he was asked Akasha, why are not women Mechuyiv to put on tefillin also Zeichel Anes? So the Pasuk says in Chumash, Lemanti Yeteres Hashem Eficha Ki Biyarcha Zocha Hotiach Hashem in Mitzray, that the purpose of Hanochas tefillin is to remember Yetzias Mitzray. It's Zeichel Anes, so why don't we obligate women to put on film? So some sages says there's more than one teretz. Some sages says a good teretz is that there's a difference between Zeichel Anes and Pirsumi Nisa. When the nature of the mitzvah is Lefarsei Mitaneis, Laharis or Lagalus Mitaneis, that's the lotion of the Rambam and Hilchas Chanukah, Laharis or Lagalus Mitaneis. So then you apply the principle that Achen Havias Anes, but if you just have a mitzvah which is Zechel Anes, but the essence of the mitzvah, that means that's the motivation, that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah, that's the reason why the Chachamim are misakin the mitzvah Zechel Anes. But in the Kiyum HaMitzvah, in the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah, there is no Pirsumi Nisa. So then we don't find that women are mechuyim. So that's the reason why women are exempt from Hanochas Tefillin. And for the same reason, there are many posts that say that on Purim women are obligated in Mikra Megillah. Yeah, Mikra Megillah, but not mechuyim Matanis Lav Yoni Mishalach Manas. Rabbi Kivege quotes the Pichadush, who disagrees. Earlier Akharim, I think the Ramah says, either the Ramah or the Magen Avraham, I think the Ramah says that women, just like the mechuyim in Mikra Megillah, are also mechuyim in Shalach Manas Matanis Lev Yoni. Rabbi Kivege quotes from the Pichadush, who disagrees. So the Pichadush disagrees because of a pasuk. Mishloach Manas Ish L'Reyehu, Ish V'lo Yishu, Agzeres HaKos M'Shem. But you can give a Hezber, you don't even need Agzeres HaKos, you can give a Milta D'Vitayma over here. Because only Mikra Megillah is an act of Pirsumi Nisa, you're telling over the story, you're telling over the next. Masheni Ken, Mishloach Manas Matanis Lev Yoni, that's only Zechel HaNes, that's not Pirsumi Nisa. So similarly on Chanukah, one can argue the point and say that the only aspect of the mitzvah Sayyam of Chanukah that's the Siminisa is the Hadlakas on Neir. But the Amiris HaHalel, we say Halel on different occasions during the year. So how is there an indication that the Halel on Chanukah is the Siminisa? The most you can say is that it's Zechel HaNes. Hadlakas on Neir, that's the Siminisa. What's the difference? When you do the Hadlakas on Neir, you tell over the story of the Neir. That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. That in the Masechet Sofrim, the Nusach of Haneres Halalu appears. The Masechet Sofrim the Netziv quotes this Masechet Sofrim in its commentary on the Shulchan. The Netziv's granddaughter married Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who was Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather. So the Netziv was his great grandfather, whatever it was. So that's one of the few sons that he used to look at. He used to look at Rishonim. But among the Achronim, he didn't look so much, but the Nesiv, the stuff from the family. Beis Halevi, even though Beis Halevi has a lot of Tulpulim, but that's his great-grandfather, so he used to look in Beis Halevi. So the Nesiv has a discussion of this line in the Masechet Sofrim where it says that when you madlik the neiris, you say, lahadlik ner shal Chanukah, then you light the candles and you say, haneiris halalo ala madlikim, after you finish the whole tiyut of haneiris halalo, then you say, shehechiyonu, and then you say, shosanisim. Legamri, not what we do. Legamri. So the Netziv discusses that. Where did the Ramo get from the Maharil? Where did he get that we have a different practice? That we say all the three brachas are below the other. We say the order differently. We say first Shas and then you say Shas at the end. And then the person says Fakir. He says the two brachas, the order is first Shas and then you say Shas and Nisan. And you recite both of the brachas after the Hadlok is all over. But I'll call upon him. So they actually thought the Mashmoris of the Masechet Sofrim is perhaps he wasn't so 100% vadoes, but he thought as a chumra the Masechet Sofrim sounds like it's saying that if somebody lights Chanukah candles and he doesn't say Haneres Halalu, Asavara, that he's not Yotze. If you light the Neres Chanukah, you don't say the Bracha L'Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, you don't say any Bracha of Pashtuses, that you are Yotze. The Gemara says the Bracha is not Miakvay. The Gemara says the Bichas HaMitzvah is not Miakever. So Alpi Pashtus, we should assume that applies both to mitzvahs deraisa and to mitzvahs derabbanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Fengel has a pesanayin file. He wants to, has a whole mimer. He wants to say that brachas anat miyakid is only on a mitzvah deraisa, because the lashon haGemara is the Gemara is talking about a mitzvah deraisa of hafrashas truma. So a person is mafresh truma and atayra, and he didn't say the bracha sheker deshanu mitzvah, but the brachas on mitzvah is only the rabbanan. The Gemara's Lashon Brachas is, how can you say that the Brachas HaMitzvah is Mi'akevis and the Kiyum HaMitzvah Deraisa? The Mitzvah is Deraisa, the Brachas is Rabbanah, how can it be Mi'akev? But what if the Mitzvah is the Rabbanah and the Brachas is the Rabbanah? So maybe there is room to say that it is Mi'akev, Kach Tikna Chacham, that you got to do this Mitzvah with this Bracha, and if you do the Mitzvah the Rabbanah without the Bracha, so you're not here, Aswara to say like that. So he has a whole mimer he wants to push to his original chiddush, but the Pashtus says no one else holds like that. He wrote little tulum or something. He didn't mean it. So if a person is going to light Chanukah candles, which is at the Rabbanon, and he's not going to recite the bracha, so the Pashtus says that he's yotze. But there's a makom to say that if he lights Chanukah candles and he fails to say, and there is halalo, a svar that is not yotze. If he didn't sing Mo'ez Tzur, even if he didn't say Mo'ez Tzur, the Pashtus says he says not yotze. Because most Surah is not a Takana for Nanshe Knesset Gdola, it doesn't appear in the Masechet of Mara. Neves Halola does appear in the Masechet of Mara. What's the reason why you should assume such a, why should it be Oyla Ladas to say such a wild thing? That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, he doesn't think that it's so wild. He thought that it was a very good Surah, that since the nature of the mitzvah, of these three mitzvahs, Arbe Kaisis, Mikra Megillah, and Hadlokas Neres Chanukah is Pisumi Nis, not just Zechel and Nes. Zechel and Nes means that's the motivation, that's what prompted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what prompted the Chachamim to institute such a mitzvah. We're talking about Pisumi Nis, so the Farsamus HaNes, you have to tell over the story. So in Arbe Kaisis, in conjunction with the Arbe Kaisis, you recite the Haggadah. Mikra Megillah, you tell the whole story. And a Chanukah, if you're just going to light the candles and you're not going to tell over the story, as far as that, there's no Pisumi Nis. So maybe the Haderes HaLolo is Likubo, that if you don't say it, you weren't really in the forest in the tennis. Ah, they don't quote on Eretz alone. Okay. So they clearly hold that it's not Ma'akim. Fine. But the question is whether the Masech Tovim ever meant that it was Ma'akim. Masech Tovim mentioned starting on Eretz alone in the middle of the brachas. So that's the question. Maybe the Masech Tovim meant that it's Likum. Because these mitzvahs are distinct from other mitzvahs. As we said, women al pi pashtus are not mechuyev in halal on Chanukah. Because the halal is only zechel and nes, it's not pirsumi nisim. What taka the svara that afilu oni hamachazer al apsochim, even in oni v'evyon, who can't afford it, is obligated to get nedavis in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Rav Soloveitchik said, al derech hadrash, so what's the idea of performing a mitzvah that's pesumi nisa? We want to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of his way to break the laws of Teva on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that he did it in the past and he should do it again now. That Al Pi Teva, a lot of things are going to go wrong. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go with us L'mayla and Teva. He should topple the Israeli government and he should see that Arafat and all the Klal Yisrael should disappear into the Mediterranean, whatever. After everything we're asking of the Baruch Hu, he should do nisim. He should do us a lot of nisim now. So if we want to lead our lives with security, we're going to put away 75% of our income in a savings account, and then we're not going to give any tzedakah, and we're going to be very cheap on mitzvahs, and we're going to figure out every cool on the books. So why should the Baruch Hashem go out of his way if we're not going out of our way? If we're going to follow, there are rules and regulations in the Shulchan Aruch. There is such a din, a person is not mechuyev to spend more than one fifth of his total savings in order to perform a mitzvah, because we're afraid that he's going to go broke. But if a person is going to use that plow when it comes to these mitzvahs, where the nature of the mitzvahs is to minisa, and the whole idea behind to minisa is that we're calling on power called Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shalom, you did it in the past, you did nisim for us, you turned over the whole world for us, so we request of you, you should continue to do it in the future. So if we're asking him that he should go out of his way, so we should, if need be, we should go a little bit out of our way. Even if he's a non-Iham, a Chazur al-Apsof, we should also go to get some money in order to be mad like Ner Chanukah. Perhaps we don't have, perhaps we're not obligated to tell the whole story, just the mikta. That's the question. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay a whole essay dedicated to the Chiddush of the Beis Ephraim. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius was a businessman who lived in the city Brod in Galicia. He was not the Rav in the city, he was just a businessman. Successful businessman, a rich man. The Rav in the city was the one who wrote the Sefer Lev Arye HaChulin. It's also a classic, but it's not as famous as his Balabot, as the Beis Ephraim. So the Tshuva, Shalat Tshuva is Beis Ephraim, he has a Tshuva in connection with Neres Chanukah. He comes up with a big Chiddush, and Rabbi Yosef Engel thinks that his Chiddush may even be correct. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Shultas. Tosfos quotes the Shultas and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. If you have leftover oil after Chanukah is over, so the leftover oil and the leftover wick, you're not allowed to use the Divrei Chol. Le'olam, it's really difficult. Why should that be so? You ought to say that it's Tashmishei Mitzvah Nizrokim. You've performed your mitzvah, so whatever is left over after the Zman HaMitzvah is over. What do you do with the leftover lulav and esrog if the sukkah is over? You can do whatever you want with it. You can eat it. A lot of people make meichel out of the esrog. You can do whatever you want. What do you do with the schacha, the sukkah, if the sukkah is over? What do you do with, let's say, an old torn up talus? What do you do? You can throw it in the garbage. You can do whatever you want with it. That's halacha, tashmishei mitzvah. And the zrokim, only tashmishei kedusha on the gnozim. Tashmishei kedusha means the avatar is filled in the mezuzah. Things that have the avatar written on them are called tashmishei kedusha. Tashmishei mitzvah on the zrokim, a shayfer, a tzitzis, a sukkah, a lulav. So why shouldn't the same apply over here? That's what all the achrayim ask them. Keren Oyer. I'm a Sefer Shabbos, another achrayim ask. Very Talmudic. Why should the shultas? We don't have this brighter. The shultas calls the brighter that we don't have at all. Shultas was from the period of the Gaonim. He lived in the, he wasn't one of the Gaonim himself. He knew how to learn very well. He was a Goyen. But a Goyen, officially the title, Goyen means the president of the yeshiva. Dr. Lehm is the Goyen. The Rebbe's yeshiva are not the Goyen. The Goyen had to raise the money. He was the president of the yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva is Goyen Yankis. That's what it meant. Rosh Yeshiva is Goyen Yankis. So the kids said, used to call him Goyen. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. A lot of those Goyenim were not Goyenim at all. He said, my grandfather knew how to learn better than most of those Goyenim. Somebody wants to... Professor Shaul Liebman once asked Rav Soloveitchik, what did he say about a certain Shiva? He said, garnished. He didn't know how to learn. Why do you get so excited? So the Goyen made a mistake. Doesn't mean anything. So the Shiltas lived in the Tkufas HaGoyenim. He was one of the great Goyenim of all generations, but he himself was never a Rosh Yeshiva. He wasn't really one of the Goyenim themselves, officially. He didn't have the official title. So in the Shultis, he quotes a Braisa that we don't have in the Gemara anyway. The Braisa that says, and Tyson quotes it from the Shultis, and then it is Braisa. That the Moshe Shemin Shebiner, the Shemin of Tzilish and Ishtaira, after Hanukkah is over, so he's supposed to also know Madura B'Fneyatma, the Sofa, you're not allowed to use it for Divrei Chol, for secular purposes. Very shvevo, so tzilum mitzvot remains even after the zman mitzvah is up. Obviously, he treats it like tashmishei kedusha, not like tashmishei mitzvah mechatei. So why should it be thought very shvevo? So they say apparently the shultas is of the opinion that he treats the neiris of the menorah that we light on Hanukkah like in the Beis Hamikdash, that the shemen of tzilum in the Beis Hamikdash taka is kodesh. Whatever will be left over in the Beis Hamikdash will be kodesh. Of course, that's not tashmishei mitzvah. That's like korbanos. The shemen that you burn in the Beis HaMikdash with the tzibur, that's like an object of a carbon that's burnt on the mitzvah. So whatever is left over in the Beis HaMikdash, about it, you're not allowed to use it yourself.
According to
the can you use it for a bar mitzvah? I don't think so. I don't think so. The pashtus is that not. You may not use it for a bar mitzvah. That's how the Balamor interprets the Gemara. The Balamor interprets the Gemara that there is a machlokes amoraim in the Gemara whether mutar lehishtamish liyora or rotar lehishtamish liyora. Is one permitted to be nenef in the or haneir of the Ner Chanukah? And even if you hold that it's rotar lehishtamish liyora, the Balamor interprets that there is a machlokes amoraim to what extent is it rotar. The one opinion in the Gemara is that Ner Chanukah rotar lehartis moed kinegdo. You're not allowed to count money. You're not allowed to look at the coins in order to figure out how much money you have. The Balmor claims that that opinion in the Gemara holds that it's only oster to be nanif in the Oraneir for secular purposes, to count coins, but to learn a sefer, to use it for Dvar Mitzvah, that would be permissible. And the other opinion in the Gemara holds not so. No, absolutely not so. Oster l'shtamish liyora at all. Not only oster l'hartzis moris, oster Balmor learns oster l'hartzis moris kenegin erchanik is a kula. Other Rishonim say no, it's a chumrah. To read a book is nicharasa. You have to squint and read like this. So just to look at the coin, what you can count the coins, even if you don't look at it, you can feel the coins to tell what's a quarter, what's a nickel, what's a nine. You can figure it out without looking. Or you want to count how many? You know that you're all nickels. You don't know how many nickels you have. So you can put your hand in your pocket and you count 5 nickels. It's 25 cents. So you want to make it easier. So you look at how many nickels you have. So some Rishonim say the Farish even also lehartis mois is a chidish lechumra. That's not lekula. Even though you could have gotten this Hanor without using the Or HaNer, you could have counted the coins and come to the number of the 5 nickels. Nonetheless, it's still a Chiddush L'chumah that you're not allowed. But the Balmor always has a Chiddush. Balmor always has the original interpretation. He says, no, Otah B'Hatzis Mois is a Kulah. It's a Chiddush L'chumah. That you're only not permitted to use the Ner Chanukah for secular purposes. But with Bar Mitzvah is permissible. Why? Because that Mandam and the Gemara is permissible. That's what he says. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that's what Rav Shlomo Levilner says also. Rav Shlomo Levilner Tainis, the Nusach that it says in the Masechet Sofim, Hanevus Alol Kedushim, is a dead giveaway that we shouldn't tatzken, that the Masechet Sofim doesn't tatzken like the Baal Hamor. The Masechet Sofim holds like the first Mandoma. The Ner Chanukah does have Kedusha, that it is Dumi the Neris in the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore should be also the Shtamish Liora, even the Dvar Mitzvah. So this Dechemet quotes this letter from Rav Shlomo Levilner. He says he doesn't see what the strong raya is from the Nusach of the Masechet Sofim just because Hanevus Alol Kedushim. He says the Ramban writes in Masechet Shabbos and the Sugya of Bemi Madlikim and the Sugya of Chanukah that Tashmishei Mitzvah and Nizrokim only applies after the Zman Mitzvotzai is over. But called Zman Mitzvotzai, so it is hooked to the Mitzvotzai, has the Kedusha, the Mitzvotzai of a temporary nature. If you have Tashmishei Kedusha, that means that it has a permanent Kedusha. And if you have Tashmishei Mitzvah, that it has a Kedusha called Zman Mitzvotzai. So the Gemara says regarding the sukkah, "Kishem shachal shem shamayim malach agiga, kachal shem shamayim malach sukkah." That the sukkah has a kedusha. So the Masechet Sofim holds like the first mandama. The Ner Chanukah does have kedusha. That it is dumi the neris in the Beit Hamikdash, and therefore should be also the shtamish liora, even the dvar mitzvah. So this Dechemet quotes this letter from Rav Shlomo Levilner. So he says he doesn't see what the.
Then we all have here,